Salt Lake City parking meters could be offline for a couple more weeks. Civilian employee furloughs begin at Hill Air Force Base, and weekend storms spark several fires. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, July 8th. I'm Brian Grimmett. It could be another couple of weeks before Salt Lake City parking meters are back in working order. A spokesman for the mayor's office says the city is trying to determine why the Big Blue meters stopped accepting credit cards on Friday. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
City officials turned off the meters after receiving several calls about the issue. Spokesman Art Raymond says they're not sure whether it is a software or hardware breakdown, but the city will figure out who's responsible to make sure it doesn't happen again. It's only the credit card system that's not working. The machine still accepts coins or cell phone payments. Raymond says about 75% of people who use the meters pay by credit card, so the city shut the whole system down to ensure convenience for the majority of users. Raymond says more than 5,000 credit card payments are made each day on the city's meters. Parking enforcement officers are working regular shifts. They're issuing tickets to cars parked longer than 2 hours in a metered spot. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
About 11,000 civilian employees at Hill Air Force Base will begin furloughs this week. The sequester required because Congress and the president couldn't agree on other spending cuts make the unpaid time off mandatory. And all about 700,000 civilian workers in the Department of Defense will have to take as many as 11 furlough days through the end of the fiscal year in September. Jeff Stiegel, an economist at Weber State University, estimates the impact on the local economy will add up to about $54 million. A wildfire burning near Las Vegas has prompted the evacuation of about 500 people and left a thick blanket of smoke over the city. The fire on Mount Charleston was started by lightning. It's covered about 14,000 acres at last report. More than 400 firefighters were working on it over the weekend. A 4,500-acre wildfire burning near Minersville in Utah was contained over the weekend. Lightning started a house fire near Ogden over the weekend. It struck a wooden turret on top of a two-story house. Firefighters were able to put it out. They estimate damage to the home at about $20,000. The home in the Uinta Highland area is only about 10 years old. Heavy rains on Saturday flooded six homes in Sandy. The rain apparently overwhelmed the storm drain system on 7985th South. The Deseret News reports the city had upgraded the storm drain system 6 years ago because of past flooding problems on that street. Fire destroyed the box office and concessions buildings at the Sunset Drive-In Theater in Vernal on Friday night. Firefighters say a grease fire from the theater's deep fat fryer spread to the rest of the building. The Deseret News reports an employee tried to put it out with a fire extinguisher, but it spread out of control. No one was injured. A lack of money has forced Tooele County to lay off dozens of employees, close the community pool, and cancel the upcoming county fair. The county is home to about 60,000 people. Its financial troubles can be traced back to the county commissioner's decision to borrow $6.5 million from over several years from restricted county accounts devoted to essential services. State Senator Howard Stevenson used his weekly radio show to criticize the Utah House over its approval of an investigation into Attorney General John Swallow. He called the action rushed and ill-conceived. Stevenson says he's embarrassed by the House's decision to move forward with an investigation. It focuses on allegations of misconduct that occurred after Swallow became the Deputy Attorney General. The Attorney General has denied doing anything illegal or improper. The Bureau of Land Management is planning to remove sagebrush, pinyon pine, and juniper over 145,000 acres of rangeland in eastern Nevada. But an environmental group is suing to stop the work, saying it threatens habitat for the sage grouse. The BLM says the project would get rid of cheatgrass and reduce the danger of wildfire, resulting in healthier rangeland in the long run. The Western Watersheds Project says it will harm what remains of sage grouse habitat in Nevada. Adam Swapp is getting out of prison after 25 years. He served time in both state and federal prisons for bombing an LDS church building near his family's home in Marion and then holding off police for days in 1988. A state corrections officer was killed in an attempt to send a police dog to capture Swapp. The Utah Board of Pardons granted parole in April, saying he accepts responsibility for his crimes and has shown remorse. Ski racing legend Stein Eriksen is in the hospital with what are described as neurological symptoms. Eriksen is 85 years old. He was flown to Intermountain Medical Center on June 26th from his home in Park City. A spokesperson for Deer Valley Resort says he was in intensive care for a couple of days, but seems to be on the mend.
The celebrated Irish novelist John Banville first published his collection of short stories in 1970. Since then, he's won the Man Booker Prize and many others for his fiction. Now the stories are back in a new edition, and Betsy Burton has this review.
The gloriously gifted Irish writer John Banville, known for his sometimes wicked humor, his brilliant prose, his often dark sensibility, has won over the course of a long literary career every fiction accolade Great Britain has to offer. His novels range from terrifying to sublime, and so do these early stories, published in 1970 in Ireland and now available in a U.S. paperback edition. Each tale is short, none more than 10 pages, yet in every one the landscape is as vivid as the characters who inhabit it. A humid summer garden, a swarm with bees and heat and green, and at the heart of it an old man dancing. A wood at the edge of night, dead leaves, tangled limbs, gathering darkness, a terrified boy. A deserted Greek beach, as blank as a man's face, as his lover mourns his vanished passion. Men tremble on the brink of madness, withdraw from and abandon women, drown the things they wish they didn't know, and drink. Boys hide, watch helplessly, turn away, as people behave in ways they can't make sense of. Women tempt men, taunt them, are anguished, uncertain victims. It's as if, in these slips of story, sketches really, Banville has managed to capture humanity in a way a full novel never could. Every sentence is breathtaking, every scene as alive with ambiguity as it is with life force. All of life is contained in every one, the coming together and the coming apart, the fighting and soothing and loving and hating, each tale a seed for something bigger, opening up our imaginations even while shocking us. All are so gorgeously rendered and acutely perceived that the fame that came later to Banville could have been no surprise to anyone reading this early work. In hindsight, it's easy to see how John Banville has become one of the greatest writers of our time.
Betsy Burton is the proprietor of the King's English Bookstore in Salt Lake City, and she reviewed Long Lankin, a collection of stories by John Banville.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, July 8th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.